see these big ideas. Really, I already gave you the whole sermon. So if you have to leave early or something, you already got the 8-second sermon, the 1-sentence sermon you already got. It's when we are trapped, God wants to demonstrate his saving power to us and to the world. So I'd prefer if you stuck around and hear, you know, what the Bible and what that's all about. But, you know, hey, you already heard the whole sermon right there. So we have this passage here in Exodus. So you have to understand the people of Israel, you know, they were in Egypt for 430 years after that great famine. They went down to Egypt with Joseph, about 70 people, you know, Abraham, just the promised people. At this point, they had grown to around 2 million people, but they had been in bondage and slavery for several hundred years. And so now God had given, you know, he had promised them the land of Canaan, and the goal was to get them back there. But they were stuck in Egypt, and they were trapped in Egypt. But God used the mighty plagues. He used Moses, a leader. And so finally, Pharaoh said, let him go. You know, Moses said, let my people go. And finally, Pharaoh actually let them go. And so they have left, and God is leading them. And look what it says in chapter 13, verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones, and it goes, talks about the bones. Verse 20, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So, you see, God is leading them. And that's really the first big idea that I want to give you here, is that God leads us. So how does he do this? He leads us to a place with no escape. It's important to see who led them there, right? I mean, look at what it says in verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, who led them? That God led them. Okay, and it says, not through the way of the land of the Philistines. So there were two main highways. You know, there was the way of the sea, and then there was the desert highway, really. So he went through the way of the wilderness. And he said, they didn't go through the way of the Philistines, although that was near. So that was the closer route. That was the easier route. God did not lead them to the easy route. He didn't lead them through the easy path, the easy way. He led them through the long road.
Right.
It was God that did it. Look what it says, verse 18. But who led the people out? But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. So God led them through the wilderness on purpose. He had a purpose in mind for them. Now, I want you to understand, God has a purpose for us, and God is leading us. And sometimes God does not lead us through the easy path, and through the short route, the shortcut. He doesn't give us a shortcut. He takes us the long way around. And it goes on, I mean, it talks about the pillar of a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night that was leading them, that was guiding them. I mean, imagine that, a tornado during the day. Which way are we going? Wherever that tornado goes, you follow it. Hey, it's nighttime. Well, the tornado is now on fire, you know, a pillar of fire by night, a fire-nado, I don't know what you call that, you know, a fire tornado, man, that's awesome. You know, a pillar of a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. But God was leading them, all right? And chapter 14, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he may follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So again, God says, okay, you've got the pillar of a cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, that's leading them, but he also gives specific instructions to Moses and said, hey, I want you to lead the people to this place called Pi-Hahiroth. All right, now if you look up where that is, you've got mountains, to one side. There's one entrance in. Then there's the like marsh kind of area. There's the Red Sea, which at the shortest distance across would have been something like 19 miles, all right? So God led them there knowing that Pharaoh, being a strategic warrior, would say, man, they're trapped. They're entangled. They're trapped. They got no way out. There's only one way in and there's only one way back out. And so strategically, from a military standpoint, that is a great spot to be in, where you've cut your enemy off and you can just, you know, surround them. But God gives us his first glimpse of the purpose that he had, because he said that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So God's going to do something so that the Egyptians, the world, the unsaved, know that he is the one true and living God. Amen. Gets that little preview of his purpose here. Now, at the point, the people didn't know what was going on. They're like, why can't we go the short way? You know, man, why are we here? This is a dead end. Why did you bring me to a dead end? I imagine they're thinking, why are we in a dead end? Maybe you feel like that sometimes. You're in a dead end. All right, so what happens? They did so. Okay, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. So now you got the Egyptian army cutting them off, trapping them in. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So the first thing that we see here really is that God leads us to a place with no escape. It's important to realize that sometimes it's God that is moving and orchestrating these things in our life that may seem difficult, may seem problematic. Just, I mean, we're seeming like we're trapped, we're stuck. We don't know what's going on. There's no way out. You're between a rock and a hard place. But it's God that's doing that because he has a greater purpose in mind for you. He has a bigger work that he's trying to accomplish. And so here we see they were surrounded by the Red Sea, the desert mountains, and the Egyptian army. There was no way out, but God led them there. Amen. All right, and so what does God tell us to do once we get there? He commands us to march forward. So the people, they complained, they were fearful, they were, they're talking about how they're afraid they were. They're saying it'd be better that we served, it better be slaves in Egypt than to die out in the wilderness, you know. But what does God tell us to do? He commands us to march forward. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. A second glimpse of why God's doing this. It's so that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. God's going to do something. He's let his people be in a bad situation. Because he's trying to reach the unsaved. He's trying to show people that he's the one true and living God. So the people there, he leads us to a place with no escape, surrounded on all sides by problems, difficulties, but he commands us to march forward. Now, how does he command us to march forward? If you sum up the things that we can glean from this, he commands us to march forward, not complaining about our situation. You see the people, they were complaining. not fearing the confrontation. They were afraid of the Egyptians. And not using prayer as an excuse for inaction. You see, they complained to Moses, and Moses was praying, God, these people are complaining. And God says, hey, why are you complaining and praying to me? I've commanded you to go forward. You need to go forward. You need to march forward. And so sometimes we use prayer. Oh, I'll pray about that. Or we pray almost as an excuse to not do what we're supposed to do.
You're right.
You know, right. Let me pray about that. And really God says, what's there to pray about? I've already given you the command. The time to pray, that's over. It's time to obey, you know. Amen. It's time to act. It's not just time to, you know, just to pray. Now, I'm not saying don't pray. You understand what I'm saying, folks. I'm saying that sometimes we use prayer as sort of this excuse, like, well, let me pray if I should do that. Let's pray about it. It's like, well, God has already given a command. We don't have to pray whether we should obey him or not. We should just march forward, go forward with his will that he has already revealed to us, obey the scriptures, obey the commands that he's given us. We should move forward.
Amen.
All right, so he leads us to a place with no escape. He commands us to march forward, not complaining about our situation, not fearing the confrontation, not using prayer as an excuse for inaction, and then he performs a great work. Look at verse 19. All right. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So God's turned the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire. He's turned the cloud on the Egyptians, so their view is blurred and they can't see. And then he's got the fire that's lighting the way for the Israelites. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, folks, many of you you've been in church most of your life, or all your life, and so you kind of already know the story, but they didn't know the story, and they had no idea what was coming, okay? They had no clue. It's like, march forward. Where are we supposed to go? You got the Egyptian army there. We've got the mountains. And then we've got the sea. I mean, where are we supposed to go? You know, and God said, no, you need to go forward in faith. I've told you to go that way. March. And God parts the Red Sea, this giant body of water, not this tiny little reed sea that some of these modern scholars try to explain away miracles. If that was the case, then it would be a bigger miracle, because how do you drown an Egyptian army in this much water? That would be the bigger miracle, wouldn't it? You know, but so God has opened up the Red Sea, and imagine this. Put yourself there. They had no idea what was going to happen. All they were thinking, man, we got those Egyptian army there. We got the mountains. We're trapped. We're stuck. We don't know what to do. And God's saying, go forward. And he brought us here. Why did he bring us here? He's already given a couple clues. I'm going to show my mighty saving power. I'm going to show that I'm the one true and living God to the whole world.
Amen.
He's given a clue. So we march forward, and God does his miraculous work in a way that's just least expected, better than expected. I mean, maybe they thought, well, maybe he'll grant us power to fight. But no, he parted this Red Sea. Verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Imagine this for a second, okay? You're going into a sea. So God caused this miraculous wind to blow in a certain way that made the waters on the right side form a wall, and the waters on the left side form a wall. It's where there's just dry ground. You walk down into the sea and then walk up. And imagine that, right? And you got 2 million people. And you got all their livestock, their cattle, donkeys and cows and sheep and goats. And you've got maybe some of them have some carts, and maybe some of them are just carrying all their possessions on their back. And you've got your family with you. You've got your kids. I'm imagining me. I mean, I know what it's like just getting my kids into the car and trying to get them someplace. And imagine you're walking, and over here you see a giant wall of water, And on this side, you see a giant wall of water. I don't know if it was like crystal clear, like an aquarium, and you could see like fish staring at you and stuff. And I don't know if like their big eyes were looking at you. You're going, oh, you know, I don't know if it was all blurry and wavy. I don't know what it looked like. I wasn't there. But I have an imagination, you know, and I'm just thinking like, okay, this is cool. Can y'all hurry up a little bit? You know, can y'all go a little faster? I'd like to get through this thing. And, you know, it took all night for the 2 million people to walk all the way across. And then, I tell you what, since you kind of know the story, so I'll, you know, basically what happens is, you know, after they get all across, then God says, okay, now you can come on, Egyptian army, moves the cloud and everything away, now they can get through. And so they all get into the middle of the sea, and then God says, all right, time to come down. All the water comes down, drowns all the Egyptians. The mightiest nation on earth, the most powerful army on earth, was defeated just like that by God. Yeah. Just like that. God showed his mighty power. He has power over the sea, the waves. He has power over the wind. He has power over the most mighty nation on earth. Pharaoh was defeated. Everybody heard about this. And again, and really sums everything up, we'll read the last few verses of the chapter, verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So God was showing the earth and showing the world that he has the mighty power to save and to destroy, but he's also showing his people that he's powerful. He's showing his people that, hey, he knows what he's doing. Yeah, maybe you questioned him, like, why is he leading me here? Why did he put me in this situation? Why am I stuck again? But no, you can trust him. You can trust his word. He's going to come through. He's going to do amazing things. Yeah, you may feel like you're trapped and there's no place to escape. There's no way out. But he's commanding you to be obedient and to march forward. You know, don't complain about it. Don't be afraid. Go forward. Don't let prayer get in the way. Like, go forward in action. And then he's going to do a great work. It's when least expected, better than expected, and that proves his power to the world and that helps his people believe his word. Amen. So, oftentimes we're selfish, aren't we? Yeah. We get stuck, we get trapped, we get in a hard spot. I mean, you know, you think health on this side, and finances on this side, and problems at work on here, and relationships, and you're surrounded by problems everywhere. And we get selfish. Man, why am I in this spot? If we understood this passage, we would understand that, hey, maybe God's trying to do a big work in you and through you that would show the lost that he's the one true God. And that would prove to you that, yeah, he's trustworthy. You can believe him. You can trust him. You can rely on him. He's faithful. Instead of complaining, we would be like, man, I wonder what God's about to do. Because I'm in a tough spot, and the only way out of this, God's got to do something, because I don't see any way I can get out of this myself. And imagine just going forward in obedience and knowing God is going to do amazing things. Amen. But not just selfishly for us, not just, oh, he got me out of this situation. It's because he's trying to accomplish something. He's trying to tell people that he has the power to save. He has the power to deliver. Amen. I'll just tell you, kind of as we close, just one story that really puts some of this in action in my life, just from last year. A year ago in April, I had a 2005 Chevy Express cargo van. It was not very much to look at. It had just crossed over 200,000 miles. I was in a meeting in New York, not the city, but the state. And the pastor introduced me and talked about he made fun of my van while he introduced me. He talked about my creepy white van. He talked about when I pulled up, how he didn't know if it was, you know, some nefarious person. Like, he expected to, like, put, like, you know, free candy or something, you know, on the side of it. Or he's like, what is going on in there? It's like, it, you know, it had rust spots. And He's like, oh man, then I realized it was Brother Smith, and wow, you know, and it's like, oh, and then we started unloading a bunch of Bibles and Bible resources, and you know, that's not what normally in those kind of vans is normally a lot, something a lot worse than that, sinister, and I'm like, man, you really, like, I know my van's old, I know I need a new van, but we had no money. I mean, we had been getting all this stuff off the ground. I can't tell you how many thousands and thousands of dollars have been poured into this project to try to get everything started and how expensive things have been. It's been pretty crazy. Just takes a lot of resources. And we don't have, what do they say, my rich uncle's in the poor house. You know, like I don't have a rich uncle. And, you know, but we're, you know, and then you got my wife for the last 5.5 years has been dealing with autoimmune. She, you know, fevers every day. Imagine being sick every day for 5 years and not having any relief in sight. And, you know, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And, you know, we've got, you know, boys are all like a lot, just problems on every side, okay? Financial problems, health problems, just trying to move forward and some things, you know, discouragement and things like that. And now we got this van issue. Like, is it about to break? Earlier in the year, a tire almost fell completely off while I was going down I-40 in Tennessee. I mean, you know, it drug me off the side of the road, okay? This van, we knew we needed a van, but we had no money. I mean, I'm talking, when I say no money, I mean, we had nothing. I probably had, like, maybe $100 in the accounts at that moment, you know? But I was down in Florida from a men's advance meeting, presenting all the resources and that sort of thing, and so tired, and talking to my wife about, man, what are we going to do about this van? We have no way. I know we need a van, but we got nothing, you know. And we'll just pray. Just keep driving. I'll cut the story down a little bit here. So I'm driving back. I mean, I'm dog tired. And I told my wife, I said, we're talking on the phone while I'm driving. I said, Jennifer, can you find me a hotel like an hour or less from here? I can only drive one more hour and I've got to just rest. Normally I'm a late night person, but this was like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So I'm just like, I'm done, you know, all this lifting, all this stuff and doing, you know, it's just too much. And so she did that. And I had to stop for gas. The gas light come. Oh, I got to stop for gas. So go in, get some snacks, come out. And I see a little, what I thought was steam coming from the hood. Well, that's interesting. Here it's making these hissing and popping sounds as I'm coming around to the front. Well, that's not good. And then, so I go back in the van, and then it's starting to billow with smoke. Now the canopy of the gas station is filling with smoke. And then I look down and I see actual like sparks and chunks of molten stuff, fire coming from below the van. So I run in, get the cashier, say, hey, my van's smoking, it's on. Oh, no, I said it's smoking. And then we came back out and then it had filled the canopy and then we're seeing the melting stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, a little fire extinguisher. He's trying to put it out, didn't work. He called the fire department. My van was engulfed in flames. The whole front of the van completely burned up. I mean, we're talking about it was destroyed. The van was totaled, just destroyed. What the fire didn't melt and burn, then the water damage, and what the water didn't damage, all the smoke, you know, got. So I had all these Bible books, Bible panoramas. All that kind of stuff. Monitors, display things, all that kind of stuff in the van. So I thought I was stuck before. Now I'm really stuck, you know, like literally stuck. There was a pastor that I went to school with. I didn't even know where I was. I was in Valdosta, Georgia. But I didn't know where I was. And, oh, okay, so I put something on Facebook. Hey, this is my van right now. Y'all pray, you know. So Pastor Atchison got a hold of me. He said, hey, man, I'll come and pick you up. And you can stay in our prophet's chamber tonight. And then, you know, you can, if you want to, you can preach tomorrow. And you know, yeah, sure. So it worked out. But the Lord did an amazing thing with the van. You know, if I could have got $1,000 out of that old van, I'd have been like, wow, I can't believe someone paid $1,000 for this thing, right? The Lord worked it out in a way only he could, that we have, you might have seen it as you came in. There's a Ford Transit 2018, the medium, or it's a pretty tall roof, you know. It's got like this hauling package already installed on it. People gave money, you know, over $12,000 that was given to us to help purchase a new van, but that wasn't going to buy that thing out there, and we didn't have any other money. Some insurance kicked in to cover some of the materials that were, you know, lost on the inside, but not really enough to cover everything and not to get a new van. The van that we had only had, so this van, 2018 Ford Transit XLT towing package, this van only had 28,000 miles on it. Should have cost over $40,000. With the ramp that we installed, to make it, this so much easier now with the ramp, it's you know, rolling all these things, I wouldn't have all this stuff without that. All in, we only have $15,000 in that van. Wow. The man that sold it to us said, I love what you're doing with the Bible, with the maps, and we want to be a blessing. So he sold it to me for, I mean, next to nothing, and so we could put in the ramp and do the other thing. I mean, the Lord came through in a way only he could come through. Amen. And now, you know, that van has delivered Bible resources. It's delivered maps that help evangelize communities. Now, God is using that, and it's encouraged people. It's inspired people to keep going in spite of difficulty. And the Lord has used that story and used that problem that we were in a mighty way. But what we had to do was keep marching forward. And keep doing what he's supposed to do and trust that I don't know why I'm stuck. I don't know why I'm in this spot. I don't know why I'm in this situation. But, Lord, I trust you. And we just want to keep moving forward for you and following him in faith. I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know what health issues, what job issues, financial issues, relationship issues that you're in. But I can tell you from the scriptures and from experience that God has a bigger plan than just your comfort.
Amen.
And just your ease and your convenience.
Right.
He is trying to reach a world with the gospel. He's trying to prove himself to you one more time because we're so forgetful.
Right.
And so he's proven himself one more time. Hey, just keep following me. Keep trusting me. Keep marching forward. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Obey me. You watch what I'm going to do with your life. Yes, I led you here. You may feel stuck. You may feel like you're in problems. But I have a purpose for you in this. So trust me. Watch what I'm going to do. It's going to be something the least expected. It's going to be better than expected. He's going to prove his power to the world and prove his and help his people believe his word. We have a wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for this passage. Lord, maybe I took longer than I could have. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to do its perfect work. Help us to trust you and believe you and go forward. Lord, I don't know what these folks might be facing, but I pray you'd help them. Lord, it's easy to feel stuck and trapped and not know what to do next and question God and wonder why you've led us the way you've led us and all these circumstances we have. Lord, help us to see that you have a great purpose and a great work. Lord, help us to not be complaining about our situation, not fearing confrontation. Lord, help us to follow you and expect great things from you. We ask this in the precious name of Christ. Amen.